the recorder to work. Okay, there. Psalm 78, a contemplation of Asaph. Give ear, O people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded to our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright, and whose spirit was not faithful to God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law, and they forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters stand up like a heap. In the daytime also he led them with the cloud, and all night with the light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. But they sinned even more against him. By rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness, they tested God in their heart by asking for food of their fancy. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, "Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide meat for his people?" Therefore, the Lord heard this and was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. Yet he commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven, had rained down manna on them to eat, and given them the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He also rained meat on them like the dust, feathered fowl like the sand of the seas, and he let them fall into the midst of their camp, all around their dwellings, so that they ate and were well filled, for he gave them their own desires. They were not deprived of their craving, but while the food was still in their mouths, the wrath of God came against them and slew the stoutest of them and struck down the choice men of Israel. In spite of this, they still sinned and did not believe in his wondrous works. Therefore, their days he consumed in futility and their years in fear. When he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and sought earnestly for God. Then they remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth, and they lied to him with their tongue, for their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. How often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Yet again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power, the day when he redeemed them from the enemy, when he worked his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan, turned their hearts, turned their rivers into blood and their streams that they could not drink. He sent swarms of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs, which destroyed them. He also gave their crops to the caterpillar and their labor to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees with frost. He also gave up their cattle to the hail and their flocks to the fiery lightning. He cast on them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, indignation, and trouble by sending angels of destruction among them. He made a path for his anger. He did not spare their soul from death, but he gave their life over to the plague and destroyed all the firstborn in Egypt, the first of their strength in the tents of Ham. But he made his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And he led them on safely so that they did not fear, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. And he brought them to his holy border, this mountain which his right hand had acquired. He also drove out the nations before them, allotted them an inheritance by survey, and made the tribes of Israel dwell in their tents. Yet they tested and provoked the Most High God, and did not keep his testimonies, but turned back and acted unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their carved images. When God heard this, he was furious and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent he had placed among men, and he delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hands. He also gave his people over to the sword and was furious with his inheritance. The fire consumed their young men, and their maidens were not given in marriage. Their priests fell by the sword, and their widows made no lamentation. Then the Lord awoke us from sleep, like a mighty man who shouts because of wine, and he beat back his enemies. He put them to a perpetual reproach. Moreover, he rejected the tent of Joseph, and did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. And he built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth which he had established forever. He also chose David his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes that had young. He brought him to shepherd Jacob his people, and Israel his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart, and guided them by the skillfulness of his hand. Here this psalm is called a contemplation, which means something to think about, something to learn from. And here Asaph is a teacher, and he would teach and he would have us teach our children history. And he met this song. You know how a song sometimes helps you to remember something? Sometimes I have songs from my younger days that are in my head that I can't even get out of them. And here is a song that was meant to teach Israel their own history and both the glad and sad parts of it. You know, both the favorable parts, the miraculous things that God had done, but also the weaknesses of man. And so he says here in Psalm 78, you want to learn, you want to listen. He says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. And so he doubles it up, this emphasis on giving ear. Listen, hear, incline your ears. And we should always do that if we're hearing a sermon or here is even a psalm, which you can think of all the songs that we sing. A lot of the songs in the hymnals are filled with good solid theology and things that we can learn, just almost like learning from the Bible. And here he is singing a song that is in the Bible, and he's giving it to his people to hear. Notice too, he mentions a parable. I will open my mouth in a parable. And he says, I will utter dark sayings of old. And I just read through that whole long Psalm 70 some verses, and I didn't see a parable in it. And I think it's interesting, and he says dark sayings, and it was all history. And anybody who's read the Bible much, especially the Old Testament, would say, I know this history. I've heard this history before. And there's nothing as a parable by it. Well, why is he saying, I open my mouth in a parable and will utter dark sayings of old? And then he says, which we have heard, meaning we've heard these things before and known. This is nothing new, he's saying. And our fathers have told us. These are things we've learned from our fathers. They passed to us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. And honestly, I'm not seeing the parable or the dark saying. So what is Asaph getting at? Too often, all of Scripture is thought of this way, as like a parable or a dark saying. And we don't teach it to little children. Why? Because they're not ready for it yet. And sometimes people go through their whole lives saying, I don't understand the Bible. I don't get it. And it's not just the hard parts of the Bible that they have trouble with, like the book of Revelation or Ezekiel's writings, but they have trouble even with the most basic parts. And here Asaph is saying, this is a parable. You're thinking of it as a dark saying, but I'm going to teach you, and you need to teach your children these things. And he's expecting, I think, that this would obviously be a psalm that would be sung, that they would memorize this whole psalm, 70-some verses. And then they would know the history of Israel, because it's all in there. And not only the good parts, they would see over and over again how the people fell, how they sinned, and all the grief that came with it. Asaph wanted his people, God's people, to teach everyone, your children and their children. And you know, it reminded me of that book that we all studied. All the ladies here studied it. Everyone's a Theologian by R.C. Sproul. The whole idea was, it's not just pastors or seminary professors or missionaries that are supposed to know Scripture. Everyone is supposed to know Scripture, and even little children can learn the Scripture. And that's what Asaph is saying. He's saying, here I have teachings. You say they're dark. You say it's a parable. You say it's hard, but I want you to teach it to your children. He says to teach these things to children. Here we have testimony and law, and God's law that should be taught to children, because he says in verse 5, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. And so not only was he saying, that's what I want you to do, teach these things to your children, but you are commanded in Scripture to teach these to your children, that the generation to come might know them, and the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare to their children, meaning your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. You know, when we look around today and we see people far from God in our nation, part of that is due because Christians didn't teach their children and teach their children. They let them go. And they didn't teach them these things. And so we forgot about these things. We forgot when we should have remembered. The real dark, difficult part, our children will learn from our mistakes. Verse 8, he says, and may not be like their fathers. You know, here the thing is, you could say, well, I failed. I didn't do all this. I made mistakes. And then we're less likely to teach our children when we know we didn't do it very well. But he's saying, you teach your children anyway. You teach them about your mistakes. A stubborn and rebellious generation. That's what we were. That's what my father was. They were stubborn. They were rebellious. They did not know God. A generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to God. How did we get into this mess? Well, we weren't faithful. We need to teach that even to our children. You could say, well, what mistakes? What mistakes did they make? Well, one, A, they were armed to the teeth with physical weapons, but lacking faith, they lacked spiritual weapons. Here it says in verse 9, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Meaning, they had their weapons, they had the physical weapons, but when they came into battle, they turned back anyway. They were scared of the enemy. And scripture says, David says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And they had the weapons, but they didn't have the faith. Finally, brethren, it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And that's what we're battling against even today. We're to arm ourselves with spiritual weapons. He says, for we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. And it goes on, that passage, to say, you'll put on the armor, the whole armor of God. Stand in the day, having your waist girded with gird your waist with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith. We need these spiritual weapons, and we carry them. And this is what Asaph is saying they lacked. They had the physical weapons, but they weren't moral. They weren't right with God, and so God let them be defeated. They were not faithful to keep God's covenant. Verse 10, it says, they did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law. You know, they knew it. They had it, but they didn't keep it, and they refused to walk in it. They weren't doers of it. They were hearers and not doers. They forgot what God had done, even his wonderful works. Verse 11 says, and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them, marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the water stand up like a heap. In the daytime, he also led them with a cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness, and they gave them drink in the abundance like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And so he takes them back and he says he forgot them passing through the Red Sea, or how God provided them water in the wilderness. These things that God had done, great miracles, had been forgotten. Why? Well, they hadn't kept the law. They hadn't taught their children. And these things became less and less prominent in their lives. And so we see in our generation too, we've taken God out of schools. We no longer teach our children these things, and the children and the children's children forget these things. They no longer know them. And so this is point number two. Forgetting, sinning, makes sin worse, and sin begets more sin. So as they forget, they sin more, and sinning more means sinning more, and sinning more means sinning even more. And it says, verse 17, they sinned even more against him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness, and they tested him in their heart by asking for food of their fancy. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Meaning they were lacking faith. God had already given them the manna, and he had provided them water. You know, it says, behold, he struck the water so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. And they had got that miracle that way. But they were saying, can he give bread also? Can he provide meat for his people? Now, he had been raining manna from heaven, but can he give bread also, or can provide meat for his people? And so even though God was providing for them, they were doubting what he could do. And it says, therefore the Lord heard this and was furious. So a fire kindled against Jacob. His anger came against Israel because they did not believe God, nor did they trust his salvation. He had commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven, had rained manna down on them to eat. See, this is what he'd already done. And given them the bread of heaven, men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full. He caused an east wind to blow. This is because they were asking for meat to eat. Blow in the heavens, and by his power he brought in the south wind, and he also rained meat on them like dust, feathered fowl like the sands of the sea. This is when they had all those birds to eat, and he let them fall in the midst of their camp, all around their dwelling. So they ate and were filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not deprived of their craving, but while their food was still in the mouth, the wrath of God came against them and slew the stoutest of them and struck down the choice men of Israel. And so they died because they ate too much all at once. And he says, in spite of this, they still sinned. This didn't stop them from sinning. And they did not believe in his wondrous works. Therefore, their days he consumed in futility, and their years in fear. He's talking about the people who went in the wilderness, who doubted God. They died in the wilderness, that whole first generation. They never went into the promised land. And because they were always complaining against God, they were always fighting with God. And you think, you know, they had a rough time. They were going through the wilderness. Sometimes they were without water. Sometimes they were without food. But God always had provided for them. And yet they always complained. Just once, it couldn't hurt. The one little sin you start with, and I think that's a little interesting cartoon I found just this week while I was doing the sermon. It just happened to pop up. But you press that one little one, and it leads to a bigger one, and a bigger one, and a bigger one, and finally the biggest one lands on top of you. Their sins were heart sins and lack of faith, and their sins were food sins. They wanted more and better food, and that kind of spoke to me. I need to watch myself with that. Though that repentance was not perfect, God's mercy was great. We see here, when he slew them, then they sought him and returned and sought earnestly for God. And so they were repenting. And it says, then they remembered God was their rock and the Most High was their Redeemer. And so they started to repent. And then it says, nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth, and they lied to him with their tongue, for their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath, for he remembered that they were flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. You know, when God punishes us, we tend to pray. When things are going bad, we pray. We're ready to repent. We remember God. We still have our faults. That's what he's saying here. They prayed to God. They were repenting, but they weren't perfect in that. They still had their faults. But this time, as they're praying to God, it says, but God's compassion and forgiveness was still there for them. He forgave them in spite of their repentance not being perfect. Why? Because he understands our weakness. Now, this is an awfully long psalm. So the rest of it, I knew I would come to the end of the service by this time. It says, how often they provoked him in the wilderness. You know, one time after another, they provoked him and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power. The day when he redeemed them from the enemy, when he worked his signs in Egypt, meaning the plagues he brought on Egypt, they weren't remembering those things. And the wonders in the field of Zoan, turned the rivers into blood, meaning Egypt's rivers, and their streams they could not drink. He sent swarms of flies, which devoured them, and frogs, which destroyed them. He also gave their crops to the caterpillar and their labor to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees. Remember, these are describing the plagues. with frost. He also gave up their cattle to the hail and their flocks to the fiery lightning. You know, hail and fire was one of the plagues. That's what the lightning is. It's the fire. He cast on them the fierceness of his anger, wrath and indignation and trouble by sending angels of destruction among them, the angel of death. He made a path for his anger, and he did not spare their soul for death, but gave their life over to the plague and destroyed all the firstborn of Egypt, the first of their strength in their tents, in the tents of Ham. But he made his own people to go forth like sheep. That's what we should remember, was the redemption. They had redemption to look back for in that redemption from slavery in Egypt. We have redemption from slavery to sin, which we have in Christ. It says, with the sea overwhelmed their enemies, and he brought them to his holy border, this mountain which his right hand had acquired. He also drove out the nations before them. You know, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho and all those battles. He drove them out, allotted them to an inheritance by survey, meaning each tribe, remember, got an inheritance, got a lot, and Israel had its place, and made the tribes of Israel dwell in their tents. Yet they tested and provoked the Most High God and did not keep his testimonies, but turned back and acted unfaithfully like their fathers. Remember the book of Judges and how every man did right in it, what was right in his own eye. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places, meaning the high places where they worship the false gods. And he says, and moved them to anger, moved him to jealousy with their carved images. When God heard this, he was furious and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent he had placed among men, and delivered his strength into captivity and glory into the enemy's hand, referring to when, you know, the Philistines got the ark. And he also gave his people to the sword and was furious with his inheritance. The fire consumed the young men and their maidens who were not given in marriage. The priests fell by the sword, and the widows made no lamentation. Then the Lord awoke as from sleep, like a mighty man who shouts because of wine, and he beat back his enemies. He put them to perpetual reproach. Moreover, he rejected the tent of Joseph and did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but he chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. He built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth which he has established forever. He also chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds and from following the ewes that the young had brought him, to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. And so here he finishes this great psalm of history with the time of David, which Asaph is. This Asaph is, I still believe, the Asaph that was significantly after David. There was an Asaph who ministered in David's time, and yet I believe this is one of his descendants. And here he's recounting to the Israelites all these things that had happened, and he wants them to use this psalm to teach their children their history. And that is basically the lesson here, is to learn from history, to learn from our past, to teach our children, and even to teach them where we had failed, because that's what he does here. He teaches that not only the glorious parts of Israel, but the times they failed, so that they would not, so they could learn from the mistakes. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us, and we thank you that you do give us in Scripture a history of your people. And we can read back to Adam even, and to Eve, and to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David, and look back and see how they lived and what they did right and what they did wrong. There are lessons in these things for us, even beyond what they had in that day with Asaph. And Father, we can look at our own lives and we can see when you were mighty for us and how you saved us. And we also see our weaknesses and our failures. And Father, we are taught here in this passage, this psalm, to teach these things to our children so that they might remember and know, avoid the mistakes that we have made, and know the things, the right things that we have learned. And Father, help us to do these things. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.